From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Scientists say we're entering a new epoch, a new period of geological time that's defined by humanity's impact on the planet, especially its ecosystems. Scientists call it the Anthropocene. They say it's threatening plants and animals around the globe. Some will survive, others won't. And looking at the challenges Florida faces in this new era is bringing experts to FGCU next week. We'll talk with the scientists behind the Biodiversity Conference. Plus, Fort Myers Police Chief Derek Diggs has been on the job for roughly 7 months. He's pushed for more community outreach, but last week, an independent audit of the department shows deep problems with roots going back nearly a decade. He now has a list of recommendations to turn things around. We'll talk with him about his plans for the FMPD and how efforts to rebuild relationships within the community have gone so far. But first, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Chief Derek Diggs took control of the Fort Myers Police Department in late August, and since then, he's initiated new efforts to engage with the community and to reform the department. Those efforts come with the release last week of an audit by an independent firm that painted the picture of a department in crisis, with unsolved murders, growing gang violence, and a department without the leadership, experience, or personnel to address those problems. The audit also revealed allegations of corruption and favoritism among the ranks. WGCU spoke with one of the authors of that audit yesterday, and you can listen online at wgcunews.org/Gulf Coast Live. Today, we're speaking with Police Chief Derek Diggs about his time with the department so far, his thoughts on that audit, and where he plans to take FMPD in the years to come. Chief Derek Diggs, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you.
We're talking to Fort Myers Police Chief Derek Diggs today about the department, its relationship with the community, and the recently released audit. You can call in and ask your questions or share your thoughts with us at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. Chief Diggs, you came from a long career with the police department in Toledo, Ohio, to take this job. And I'm sure you did your research before you came to take the job. And you saw that there are, I would imagine, 100 cold case murders in Fort Myers. Problems with the department could not have come as a shock. So what made you want to take on something like this?
Well, this is what I do. I'm a professional police officer, a bachelor police manager, and, I'm a cop. And this is what I do. I have a passion for public safety, and I knew that I can come down here and help protect the citizens, good citizens in the city of Fort Myers.
And being a manager of police officers, I would imagine, would be different from being – a little bit different somehow than being a manager of other types of personnel. What kind of challenges did you see when you were coming down here to Fort Myers?
The number one challenge I see down here is that we have a strong, deep division between the various communities and the police department. Not only just between the communities and the police department, but between the communities, various communities themselves. And when you look at public safety, you look at police in a community, there has to be that support. There has to be that relationship between the police department and the community so that the community can thrive and so that we can work with each other and have that partnership and support for public safety.
And that's one of the things that came up in the audit that was completed by Free Group International, which is the third party that the city hired to dissect the department and really look into some of these issues and figure out what the root of it is and what's going on. What did you think of that audit?
Well, it's very simple. We're going to embrace that report. We're going to embrace that audit, and we're going to embrace those recommendations. And we're going to work as aggressively as we can to implement all 32 of those recommendations.
Did you find any of the findings surprising?
I was frustrated. I'm concerned. But like I said, we're going to embrace that report, and we're going to embrace accomplishing those recommendations.
And what do you think about the city of Fort Myers' decision to bring in an outside auditor for some of these tasks?
Well, once again, we're talking about bridging the gap between the communities. We have deep divisions between the communities and the police department. What better way to bring in an outside auditing agency to determine what those needs are? What's missing that most folks don't understand is that it's the police officers in the department itself that talk to these auditors. They interviewed, I believe, somewhere like 200 police officers. It was the officers themselves that formed the basis of the results of the needs assessment. They didn't just come in here and find all this stuff out. It was the police officers themselves, the good officers that want to come out and protect this community and been serving this community for years. And they are the ones that form the basis of what the report is all about. And that's missing. And it's my job to make sure that the good folks out here in Fort Myers understand that. It's the officers themselves that brought this stuff in.
And I think that's encouraging that the police officers themselves were the ones that wanted to come forward and point out, well, this is where the problems are lying.
Absolutely. And the one thing, when they came in, we offered them unprecedented access to the police department, whatever they want. They set up on the fourth floor. We allowed anonymity for any of the officers to talk to these individuals. We basically opened up our souls because we knew that something like this was needed for us to build relationships with this community.
And what I find interesting is that the police officers opened up their souls to find out what was going on, but then also the report is being made public. That doesn't always have to happen.
Once again, you know, we have some deep divisions between the community and the police department and various communities. And these are the same communities that so desperately need our police services. So what better way to start building that trust and building that accountability than have this this firm with national reputation come to our city, come to our police department, open up our books, interview our people, and give us the tools and the map that we need to do to make ourselves a better police department.
Yeah, back when you first arrived, you started holding some of the community outreach sessions, and you told one of our WGC reporters at the time that the lack of trust in some parts of this community is far, far greater than you had anticipated. Had you ever seen that type of lack of trust in other places that you've worked?
Not in other places I've worked. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've worked in more violent cities and everything else, but the trust and the division between the police department and the citizens is far greater than I anticipated. And that's one of the reasons why one of the first things I did was to start this community engagement process, this community outreach process, and bring in outside consultants to help me start building that relationship back, building those positive relationships. And it's been extremely successful. The data indicates that about 80 to 88% of the folks that we're out there engaging to believes this is the right method that we're utilizing to start building that trust that we so desperately need between in these communities that basically need our service.
And when you're going and meeting these people face to face and you're engaging with them and talking with them, what are some of the stories that you're hearing? What are some of the things that stick with you when you talk to some of these citizens?
Well, I'm not going to get into individual stories.
Well, no names or anything.
But the thing is, the bottom line is this. When we started, didn't have the trust with us, didn't have the confidence in the police department, didn't feel that we could protect them. And since we started that engagement period, we are making great process in building that trust, and in turn, that is being reflected in the safety in this community.
Mm-hmm. The audit had, as you mentioned, unique access to interview officers about the issues that they've seen within the department. And some of these issues go back decades. All of them predate your arrival. The audit encourages the department to address allegations that some officers tipped off drug dealers about warrants, saying that they should be investigated. Are there going to be any investigations as a result of this?
You know, I'm statutorily prohibited from commenting or anything like that, so I can't comment on that.
You can't talk about personnel?
No, but what I will do, what I've said before, is that there's 32 recommendations. We are going to aggressively make sure that we are successful in concluding all those 32 recommendations.
What are the top few that you really – that are just really stick out to you that you just – I know you want to do all 32, but what – are the primary concern for you?
They're all primary concern. There's no first string, second team, A list, B list. We have 32 recommendations. We've divided those things into tiers that we agree that we need to try to accomplish within the time parameter we're going to accomplish it. And there's no one priority over the other. They all are so important, and we're going to work aggressively to make sure that we accomplish all those tiers, all those recommendations in the time that's related to those tiers.
We're talking with Fort Myers Police Chief Derek Diggs about his new role in our community and how he's working to correct issues within the department. You can give us a call with questions or comments at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. For the public that's reading coverage of this audit in the paper, hearing it on the radio, watching it on TV, it seems like it's a tough indictment. Is there any context you can provide as someone with law enforcement perspective that can help us understand how things got the way that they did?
Well, you know, to do that, that means I got to go back and start looking backwards, I think. You know, they hired a police chief, me specifically, coming from the outside for a reason. We brung a organization that has a national reputation into this police department to do the needs assessment. We brought outside consultants in to evaluate and get involved in our community engagement process. So, you know, I'm looking forward. I'm embracing this report. I'm embracing the recommendations, and I'm looking forward. And if I waste my time thinking about how we got to where we got, then I'll never get forward. The one thing the community needs to understand, some of these recommendations were implemented way before the Free Group produced their report. We just had a situation where within 5 months of my being chief of police, we were able to arrest and take down 23 individuals that has been terrorizing a neighborhood for many, many years.
The Lake Boys Gang.
The one of the most dangerous gangs in the city of Fort Myers that has been terrorizing individuals in their communities. We did that, and we did that in a method that the Free Group indicated in their report.
Exactly. When I talked with Tom Larned yesterday, he was one of the authors of that report, and he was on our show yesterday. He mentioned how task forces were going out with nets instead of spears. He said they were nabbing a lot of small-time criminals without focusing on the more violent and dangerous criminals. But almost in anticipation of that, just after you came on the job, you created a gang suppression unit. And in January, the Fort Myers Police Department, as you just mentioned, arrested more than 20 people who were allegedly involved with the Lake Boys Gang. Would that be an example of what you're talking
about?
Using a spear instead of a net?
That's an example. Also, you mentioned in the report, it talks about intelligent networks. We started a criminal intelligence unit right after I got in to help, once again, as the report says, a net. Instead of using a net, we use a spear. And so there's things that we have already implemented prior to the report coming out. So what the folks need to understand is that that report is not a true indictment of what the good work our police officers are doing out there. Since I've been chief of police, our crime has been trending downward. We haven't had a homicide, a Dunbar homicide, in over 6 months. In the first 60 to 90 days, we confiscated more weapons than any comparable time period in a long time. We're out engaging the community. People are coming up and talking about how safe it is in their various neighborhood.
So you're getting positive feedback.
Getting positive feedback. And so, you know, yes, the report is frustrating to see. Yes, I have strong concerns about the report. But the men and women of the police department are doing a good job in protecting our citizens. And sometimes you all in the media may kind of don't articulate that, but we got officers that are doing a good job. And don't paint this broad brush on all the officers of Fort Myers Police Department because of what's coming in this report. Mm-hmm. They articulate very clearly that the men and women of Fort Myers Police Department are doing an outstanding job. Do we have some problems, some issues that's articulated in the report? Absolutely. But we're doing our job, and we're going to continue to do our job. And that's why we're going to embrace this report. We're going to embrace accomplishing these recommendations because the end is going to make us a better police department, and the end is going to make us a safer community.
Mm-hmm. And you've had some time now to get to know the officers on the force. You've been there for, what, 7 months now?
6 months.
6 months now. So now you've had an opportunity to get to know some of these people. How would you assess them? I mean, Are they wanting to retreat into cliques, or are they being open? I'm not talking about the report necessarily, but are they open to changing and evolving and moving forward with a new attitude?
A majority of officers want to move forward. They have a different attitude. They were changing the culture. I have a saying around the building all the time is get on the bus. And as an officer told me, we're going to get on the bus. And they want to move forward. That's one of the reasons why when we brought the Free Group in, they wanted an opportunity to talk to them and have a chance to, you know, express their concerns, answer their questions, because they want to move forward. And we're going to move forward from this.
It's nice to not have that culture of fear, too, or fear of retribution, or fearing that you're not going to be a favorite going forward, too.
The thing I stress to my officers, I stress to them every day, is that, number one, you're going to be professional to each and every person that you come in contact with. Number two, you're going to be courteous and respectful to each and every person you come in contact with. And when you have an opportunity, we're going to be very empathetic to the people that we come in contact with. We're going to treat people fairly, and we're going to treat people the same until we have a reason to treat people differently.
So given your perspective in law enforcement, how does looking forward and implementing these changes, what kind of a – How hard is it to dig out of this? With rebuilding the trust, you said that you've so far seen some good feedback coming from people where they feel a little bit more trustful of the police. How long does – I don't know how to put a prognosis on it, but what kind of time frame are you looking at?
Well, you know, I don't know what kind of time frame we're looking for. I can tell you that with the free recommendations, right now we're looking at trying to implement all those recommendations within a five-year period. Now, that's going to take some serious investment in public safety and policing by our city leaders, because if you've noticed, one thing in the report talks about continuously is staffing. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough staffing. You know, I mean, I'm the police chief, but I'm not the guy that writes the checks. So we got to get the entire Fort Myers community to embrace this report and embrace these recommendations and start working down the line so that in 5 years, hopefully, we can accomplish all those recommendations. I'm never going to be satisfied. I just told you that crime is going down. But I'm not slapping anybody on the back. We're not high-fiving. We know we got a lot of work to do. I just explained to you how the community feels safer now, and they're starting to trust us more, and they like seeing the officers in their neighborhoods. But we're not done yet. We still have a lot of distrust out there. There's a lot of things we have to do to start getting more folks to support what we're doing out there and support our actions out there. So we're a long way to go, but we're heading in the right direction, and the free report is going to help us accomplish those missions and objectives.
Well, it takes a long time to get to that level of distrust. And then you ended up with not you personally, but the area ended up with people arming themselves and feeling that they needed to protect themselves because they didn't trust that the police were going to be doing that for them. And you hear about retaliatory violence, and you hear about people not wanting to come forward as witnesses because they didn't trust the police to protect them in like murder situations. If there's a murder and you have a witness that doesn't want to come forward, we saw a lot about that in the news, I think, before you got here. But how is the police able to help to protect these witnesses that do come forward? Because with Florida's public records law, it's pretty easy to find out who's talking to who. How can the police get involved in trying to help protect these people when they do come forward?
Well, there are various ways that we can protect people, and I can't get into all the various details. But if you want to use a small example, look at the case we just built when we took down 23 individuals. Okay, we took them down. They're still confused about how this case happened. We just got to be more flexible as far as how we look at doing policing in this community. One of the reasons that crime is trending down is because we're deploying our officers a little differently. We got a gang unit. We have an intelligence unit. We're using a spear instead of a net. And so we got to make sure that, number one, we utilize the right strategy. Number two, we haven't got to it yet, technology. Okay? We got to use technology a little bit better. And we got to basically police our community in a way that police departments across the country are doing in the 21st century.
And that might be another funding thing, getting the infrastructure for your information technology to communicate better. That was one of the recommendations that came out of that report, which was computer systems and getting all the different types of communication a little bit more streamlined and in a less antiquated system. And that's going to be a funding issue.
Yes, it is.
How receptive has the city been so far?
Well, you know, my boss is receptive. He knows that I'm embracing this report. I think you have to remember that it was the city leaders that said, bring this group in. You know, this was all decided before I got here. So I think the city leaders are supporting this. They should have, because, you know, they asked for it. You know, like one quote of one city leader, hey, we asked for this. And so, you know, I think in the end, if we all embrace this report, not only as a police department, but as a community, and embrace making sure that the police department can accomplish all these recommendations, we're going to be a safer and a better city for it.
Yeah. One area of the audit noted that there was a need of revision in how the department handles homicides, specifically the large number of unsolved homicides. Can you tell me a little bit about how you plan to tackle that going forward?
We're going to restructure our investigative services to bring those points and make sure we accomplish that recommendation. We're going to do some restructuring. We're going to move some personnel around, and we're going to look at some different tactics, and we're going to be able to accomplish that objective.
I think people that are waiting for answers would love to hear that.
I understand.
Yeah. Among the high-profile cases the department's tackling, you have the ZombieCon shooting investigation and the shooting at Club Blue. Both of those shootings saw multiple people injured or killed, and so far the shooter or shooters remain at large. Is that getting anywhere? How's that investigation moving?
The only thing I can tell you, that investigation, both those investigations are ongoing, and they are top priority for our department and will continue to be top priority for that, our police department.
You talked about how you deploy officers. One of the things was suggested is a Dunbar substation. Is that something you'd like to see?
Absolutely. It's already on the drawing board. That was been on the drawing board before the free report came out. Right now we're looking at opening anywhere between 7 to 10 substations throughout the city of Fort Myers, and one will be in the Dunbar area, and we're fastly working on that.
Mm-hmm. One area that doesn't get mentioned in the discussion about the shortcomings is a way to fix the funding. How do you have to put together your wish list? I want to have a Dunbar substation. I want to have better infrastructure for information management. I would like to have deputy chiefs that can help with coordinating the different departments and reporting up the chain. Do you put together what you need and then you submit your requested budget?
Well, you know, with everything that I'm looking at, I always have to make a request to my bosses, and especially when it comes to funding. And my bosses have been very, very good as far as giving me what I can to move this department forward.
And one thing that you did get is body cameras. Tell me about that.
That was very, very important. That's one of the first things I started working on when I became chief, because I think body cameras is so important as far as building the trust in the community and accountability of the police department to the community. So we just recently was able to deploy 142 body cameras, and right behind that we'll be deploying 142 brand new tasers that will allow us to use technology and allow us to provide that trust and accountability to the citizens. And the unique thing about these body cameras is that the contract calls for, after the first 30 months, we get to turn all those new body cameras in and get the latest and greatest body cameras being redeployed to us. And that should happen at least two or three different cycles over the 5-year contract. So every 30 months, we're going to get the latest and greatest body camera technology that's offered. And what that has done for us is we're one of the very few police departments in the entire state of Florida where all our patrol officers are going to be outfitted with body cameras. The officers are excited about it. They like how the cameras operate. And it, once again, demonstrate that commitment to build trust and to build a positive relationship with the police department and the community.
Which is really critical. It really is critical, not only in our community, but across the country. I mean, you see a lot of problems with mistrust, but those body cameras do bring up that kind of credibility. But it sounds like you have a good deal worked out, getting the latest and greatest every 30 months.
Every latest and greatest every 30 months.
So after the ZombieCon, which we talked about a minute ago, the city installed other cameras in public areas. And have those public cameras shooting on the streets, have those helped to reduce crime, do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They've had an impact there?
Absolutely. And the plan calls for to look at a couple other neighborhoods where we can be able to outfit with cameras when we feel that we can utilize them and drive crime down.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Fort Myers Police Chief Derek Diggs about his new role in our community and how he's working to correct issues within the department. Give us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. So when did you first go into the police force?
You're talking about—
Like getting into being a police officer. When did you first start?
Well,
I'm just curious about you personally.
I got first hired back in Toledo in July 12th of 1977.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What made you want to get into police work?
Childhood ambition.
Childhood, ever since you were a little kid?
Ever since I was a little kid.
And then did you quickly go into a management position?
Well, I don't think it was that quick, but I spent my time on the streets and various assignments and stuff.
And you found yourself to just basically be a leader.
Yeah.
And you stayed in Toledo?
Yes.
For most of your career?
Of my career.
Until you got down here?
Correct.
So you haven't experienced a summer down here yet, have you?
I experienced the end of a summer down here.
It's pretty warm, isn't it?
Well, I think it's pretty warm down here year-round.
It is. It's a different world from Toledo, that is definitely for sure. So you have family here with you too?
No.
No? All right. Well, I wanted to ask you a little bit about how some of your face-to-face meetings have gone with the community. When you go out and you talk to the people that are – when you're building your community policing, what do you think about the kind of people that are coming forward and talking with you? I mean, what kind of things are they saying to you now as opposed to when you first got here?
Well, you know, I'm still out there going in the community and stuff, and I try to get out there as much as I possibly can. But one of the things that has kind of surprised me is that, you know, I show up at various places, whether it's a barbershop or a beautician, beauty salons, carryouts, and the first reaction is, why are you here?
I know. That's what I wondered. That's what was one of my first questions.
What's going on? You got the look, you know, and when I explain to them who I am and why I'm there and I'm just trying to get to know them and stuff, then, you know, is that breath, that release, and like, oh, okay.
You're just trying to say hi.
Yeah. Oh, you're the police chief. Oh, yeah. You know, and so then.
I've heard about you.
Basically. And so they're very surprised. And you know, I'm not from here. And I will say that you folks down here in Florida do things differently. And so, you know, it was very important for me to get out into the community and get just to start talking to people, because it's been my experience that the community will tell you everything you need to know if you listen to them. And so I want to get out there and start talking to folks and start listening to what they have to say. And that's the many steps I'm taking to start building that bridge now. Now it's the point where, you know, when I walk into these same places, hey, chief, how you doing? What's happening? High five. Like to see, you know, glad to see what you're doing. And they start telling me different things.
That's got to be a good feeling.
It's a great feeling. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of this now, but in the near future, we're going to have all our officers do the same thing. I'm just kind of leading the spear, leading the change.
But lead by example.
But eventually, we're going to have all our officers getting out of our police cars and going into the businesses and everything and talking to folks, because that's how you start building trust, is by talking to these people and communicating. So I was a little taken aback by the look when I first walked in some of these places. And most people start saying, hey, listen, we never had a police chief come to our business before, you know. And then as one of my captains told me, hey, chief, you're all on Facebook and you're on Twitter, you know, and everybody's Twittering about you. I'm too old to Facebook and I'm too old to Twitter and I'm too old to learn. But, you know, we have to find ways to bridge the gap with our citizens. And I like doing that whenever I get a chance, get out, get on the streets. And spend some time with folks and listen, because, you know, the community will tell you what their issues are and their problems are if you want to listen and they trust you. And so there was apprehension when I first started, but now it's almost like I walk in and everybody's high-fiving me and everything else when I go in these same places. So eventually all our officers are going to be doing that, and that's just one way we're trying to bond with the community and gain their trust.
And that sounds like the reason that you got into it in the first place. To be a police officer, to be a helper, part of the community, communicating with the community instead of just running in and being a big enforcer, right? It sounds like that's more your personality. You like engaging with people.
I know the importance of – don't get me wrong. I love being a cop.
I'm not saying that you're going to be a softie.
And I'm no softie. don't start ruining my reputation.
No, I'm not saying you're going to be a softie.
You do the crime, I'm going to make sure you do the time. But
building those relationships to figure out how to enforce.
You got to build relationships. And what you try to do in public safety and policing, as far as I'm concerned, you do the things that we need to do to prevent the crime from occurring. You know, most folks know that I have a soft spot for kids. And I look at myself as nothing but a big kid. And, you know, it's tough being a kid these days, especially in some neighborhoods and situations where they've been marginalized and you know, don't have the opportunity for education and everything else and all the other social issues they got to deal with. And I believe the police department has a role to play, and that's why I'm a strong proponent of our police athletic league, where we can get our police officers and start hooking them up with kids and use athletics as a hook to try to help build some structure and some discipline and some self-esteem in some of these kids that may not have that. And to get these young kids to look at our officers in a little bit different light and understand to the parents that, you know, we're not here to arrest your baby. We're here to help make sure your baby is successful and stays in school and graduates and come back and be a successful citizen in the city of Fort Myers. So in the future, once we get through all the things we need to get through with this free report, we're going to start seeing the police department engage with our youth in a way that they have never engaged before. We've got a home for our PAL League, which is the first time we ever do that. So we got some place where we can put up our boxing ring and our coaches have a permanent home to work with these kids and everything else. And one of the things most folks fail to understand, they want to think that our PAL program is about seeing which kid can win the boxing championships and what kid can win the basketball championship. Our goal at Police Athletic League and the things that I try to stress to my PAL officer is that the championship that I want our kids to win is to be champions in life and to be successful in life and to make sure they stay in school and make sure they graduate and make sure that they become productive citizens in the city of Fort Myers. We win that championship, we win those champions, and all the other championships will follow.
Well, and it's also a productive way to work out some anger management issues on a boxing bag. That's always helpful, especially when you're frustrated. And another way that you're getting out there is with the cops show. They're going to be shooting with you soon?
They're already out there.
They're out there now.
They've been there since February 21st.
Well, I mean, you've cleaned everything up so much they don't have anything to do.
Well, that's good.
You got those gang members off the street.
That's good. And that's the way we can show the people in Fort Myers as well as around the country how safe Fort Myers really is. And the good job that our police officers do. It was a great program. I fully supported it. There was a little bit of yak out there as far as why they're coming here. But, you know, we're proud of what we do. We're proud of being a police officer. We're proud of wearing Fort Myers blue. And we want everybody to know that.
Well, and I got to say that I admire the openness and just willing to, yeah, here, warts and all, here we are, and this is what we're working on. But you're having some good successes, and congratulations on the Lake Boys bus. That was good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to tell you I really appreciate your time coming in and talking with us on the air today, because I know it's been – we had this scheduled months ago, and it just so happened it came out during this audit. So it's not the easiest thing in the world to talk about, but I really do appreciate you coming in and talking with us about it.
Thank you very much for having
me. And I look forward to hearing more about the sports league.
Thank you.
When you get that rolling, let us know.
I will.
We'll
Thank
be keeping
you very
up
much,
with
ma'am.
That. All right. Well, that does it for our show today. I would like to thank Chief Diggs for coming in. It was really great to get to know and hear what some of the plans are going forward. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.